You're listening to Women in Leadership Podcast. This is episode 23. Hi, I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross. Welcome to another episode of Women in Leadership Podcast, the podcast that empowers you to reach your full potential, whether you're a woman in business or a woman working in a corporate role. Joining me today on the show is Lisa Marie Pepe. She is the confidence coach and online visibility expert for heart-centered women entrepreneurs. She's also a business coach, an inspirational author, and motivational speaker from Positive Transformation Life Coaching. Lisa Marie empowers her clients to fully embrace their unique gifts and talents by providing them with the skills they need to develop rock-solid confidence, become vibrantly visible online, thrive in business, and create the life they most desire. And on today's show, Lisa Marie is going to share how to truly live the life you desire and not settling for a life of mediocrity, how to stop self-sabotaging yourself, and if you fail to do this one thing, the answer is always going to be no. So welcome to the show, Lisa Marie.
Thank you so much, Anne-Marie. It's really, really an honor to be here with you and with your listeners.
Yeah,
so
look,
thank you very much.
So looking forward to it, especially being able to speak to someone else who's passionate about helping people to get visible and get found online. So let's dive in, because I know you've got so much, so many insights and wisdom to share. Let's talk about living the life that we truly desire and not settling for a life of mediocrity. So let's share more about that.
It's one of the areas that I'm incredibly passionate about, and it stems from, you know, personal experience, having gone through, you know, several setbacks, both personally and professionally, just a few years ago, and knowing what it feels like to actually settle for mediocrity and not live up to my highest potential. And now fast forwarding to where I am living in alignment with my, you know, higher calling and just feeling really great about life, it's like night and day. Mm-hmm. And because I've been able to feel the difference and get through the dark time and get through the fears and really create the life that I do desire, I'm so passionate about empowering other women, especially women entrepreneurs, to be able to do the same thing, mm-hmm. to move away out of that mediocre mindset, and not to settle just because they feel like they're not better or good enough, or it's not worth them giving it a shot. Mm-hmm. I see that all too often, people just settling for mediocrity.
Yeah, it
and
is
it really makes
sad.
Me sad.
Hmm. What happened? Yeah. You know, sometimes we can often live in this cycle, and it can be that cycle of mediocrity. And I think sometimes hearing someone share their story plants the seed that, hey, if it was possible for her, maybe it's possible for me too. So if we maybe can rewind and share only what you feel comfortable in sharing. What was the point for you then that you recognized, you know what, I'm not living the life that I truly desire? What was that? And what were the steps that you started to take that enabled you to really transform and shift that for yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm more than happy to share, you know, the things that I've gone through, the struggles I've gone through, because I feel as though if it can help someone else and if it can empower someone else to really feel like they too can move ahead in their life, then I'm more than happy to share. In 2011, I was working as a massage therapist, and I had a car accident and was injured, nothing life-threatening, but enough that it really disrupted my life. Mm-hmm. I had some neck and shoulder injuries that had ensued because of the car accident, and I wasn't able to go back to work in the normal sense.
Wow.
So I had been a massage therapist and I couldn't do it any longer. And at the time it happened, I thought I was going to be able to rebound very quickly. I figured no big deal. I had had a little fender bender here and there in the past. I would be fine and I would just go right back to work. And the truth of the matter is I wasn't fine. I wasn't fine 2 weeks after. I wasn't fine 2 months after. I wasn't even fine 2 years after.
Wow.
I had gone through some really tough stuff. And so in that, you know, I lost my my position, you know, in the day spa that I was working in. I had to close my own private practice that I had. And I found myself feeling very lost and very, like hopeless. And in spite of the fact that I already had a lot of graduate training behind me, so before becoming a massage therapist, I was actually doing, you know, clinical psychotherapy with clients because I had a degree, a master's degree in clinical psychology, as well as a master's in education. The point of why I say this is because I found massage therapy to be really something I was passionate about. And when that got taken from me, but no fault of my own, I went into sort of this dark phase, right? This part of my life where I felt sort of just really lost. I mean, that's the only way I can put it.
But and that was what you're passionate about. My goodness. And then all of a sudden you're faced with, I can't do this anymore. I can see.
And it was just, all of a sudden it was gone. And it didn't matter that I was highly educated. It didn't matter that I could have probably gone and gotten a position in another field or anything like that. I just didn't feel good enough about myself at that point. And what had happened was, you know, a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of feeling down soon turned into, you know, a full on depression and restlessness and a lot of anxiety. And, you know, in that time, I settled and took a bunch of jobs that were so well below my pay scale or what I should have been earning for someone who had attained that level of education. But I took jobs. I mean, even aside from the poor income I was making, I took positions that were actually pretty demeaning. You know, I worked for bosses that were not kind. I'm not sure what you would refer to it in Australia, but in the US, I did what's called telemarketing. Meaning, you know, I worked for a company that was selling random products and I made blind cold calls to people asking them to purchase these products. And, you know, I got paid minimum wage. I was treated horribly by my boss and coworkers. And I was, you know, verbally assaulted every night on the phone because I was interrupting people and asking them to buy products that they had no desire to buy. And I was just at a really low point in my life. And I actually got fired from that job. So talk about feeling bad about yourself and then getting fired from the worst job on the planet. Yeah, it was really like an all-time low for me. It was like, I looked at myself in the mirror. I was in the car and I was crying and I said, what are you doing? Like, what is wrong with you? You know, and I was blaming myself, kind of like, what are you doing? You know? And I remember in that moment just feeling so lost and so scared and thinking back how my life had been so different just like 6 months ago. You know, I was a thriving, you know, happy-go-lucky massage therapist. And all of a sudden, here I was in this, like, depressive state, getting fired from this mediocre job and not really sure which way to turn. And I knew at that point, I mean, I knew there was hope. It still took a few more go-arounds with having, quote-unquote, these unsatisfying sort of soul-sucking jobs. Until it really hit me, where I had a real wake up call. And that came about when I was working in a gym. I was like a membership sales desk type of person. And one of my duties as working at the gym was to clean the women's restroom at night. And I was in the bathroom one evening and I was cleaning it and one of the patrons who had come in, one of the members of the gym, she and I had gotten to be quite close. We were, you know, we had talked a lot while she was there and she was a social worker. And, you know, I told her a little bit about me and how I'd come to, you know, where I was at in this point in my life. And she said to me, like with no hesitancy that night, she said to me, Lisa, I've got a question for you. And I said, sure, what is it? And I barely even looked up. I was just down, you know, cleaning and doing what I was doing. And she said to me, what are you doing? And I looked at her and I said, well, I'm cleaning the bathroom, you know, very nonchalantly. And And she said to me, no, she said, what are you doing? Like, what are you really doing? And again, it just went over my head. And I said, well, can't you see that I'm actually cleaning? You know, like,
is this a trick question? Yeah, it's kind of like,
like I was so dumbfounded by it. Mm-hmm. And then for a third time, she looked at me and she said to me, no, I don't think you understand. She said, I mean, what are you doing with your life? And I kid you not, I looked like a deer in the headlights. I mean, our eyes locked. And when she said that to me, she had my attention.
Wow. That's
and
powerful.
I looked at her. Yeah, it was so powerful. It was such a, like a momentum shifting, you know, I mean, interaction that, that very moment when she said that. And I looked at her and I said, you know what? I don't know. I said, I don't know anymore. I've lost myself. I don't even recognize myself anymore. And she said a few more words. It wasn't a really lengthy conversation. It was just enough where she got my attention and she basically said something to the effect of, I really think you need to figure it out because you're so talented and you're so gifted. And I know, I see the way you interact with people and the way you're gentle with people and you want to help people and you have that gift. Why would you waste it?
Yeah.
Hiding behind a desk and hiding behind, you know, cleaning a bathroom stall. And that's literally what she said to me.
Yeah.
And from that day on, that was my turnaround. That was my, that was my, you know, eye-opening
moment,
you know, moment where I really knew there was someone out there who was ready to really call me out on my own BS.
Yeah.
Because I was telling myself
that is its
story, you know.
Goodness. I mean, how thankful I'm sure looking back you were to that, to that person. And you know, I just felt the need to, you know, to have you share that story because I'm sure someone may be listening today who through that incredible story that you did share may have been now recognized that their life and what they've been doing, they've been maybe, you know, maybe hadn't even dreamed something different were possible. So let, you know, what Lisa Marie just shared with you, be that call, be that, that moment that you say, hang on a minute, is this really what I want? So let's then talk about self-sabotaging because I think, look, we can have these moments where we start to question what we are doing and we recognize that, goodness, there are other opportunities. And guess what? I can have those opportunities myself, but then we get stuck in the self-sabotaging cycle. So how can we stop ourselves from letting self-sabotage block us from really truly living the life that we desire?
Yeah, so that's a wonderful question, and it's one, excuse me, that I'm often asked, and I actually love responding to it because, you know, the answer is so simple. But the work that needs to be done in order to get there is really where we need to focus. The answer simply is that you need to recognize that you are worth it, that you are going to give yourself a fighting chance, and that you know that you deserve more. And that can be something as simple as actually looking in the mirror for the first time and admitting that to yourself. It can be saying it out loud for the first time. It can be writing it down in a journal for the first time. Whatever it is, if you can get to that point where you say, enough is enough. I'm tired of feeling like I'm not good enough. I'm tired of feeling like I'm not living up to my highest potential, or I'm tired of feeling like a second class citizen, or whatever the, you know, you want to fill in the blank, right? So for me, the recognition piece is so key. It's so, so key because you can't change what you don't recognize.
Yeah.
And you've got to be willing to own it for yourself and know that you were created for a purpose far greater than what you're currently doing, if in fact you feel like you're not living up to your potential.
You know, just as you're saying that, sometimes we can have incredible gifts and talents, yeah, and strengths. And because they come often, some of those strengths come so naturally to us, we disregard them, don't we? We take them for granted. Yet when we need to start recognizing, well, hang on a moment, that you really do have incredible, offerings and whatever it might be in whatever field that you are in. So what for you, I mean, did you do some journaling around that to start to really recognize where some of the key areas that you were able to contribute and offer to the world, yeah, so to speak? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a huge proponent of prayer and open dialogue with my higher power. Mm-hmm. So I started there. You know, I started with, you know, the praying and the asking and, you know, the questioning about where do you need me to be? Where do you want me to go? You know, sort of putting my own needs aside for a moment to know that, and trusting that there was something greater than myself that could lead me to where I needed to be. That was where I first started. Mm. And then I made a very, very conscientious effort to change my thoughts by changing my language about the way that I spoke to myself and about myself. So if someone asked me, you know, what do you do? I mean, I was embarrassed to tell people I was a telemarketer. I was embarrassed because I knew people who had known me and they knew I had like 2 master's degrees and all of that. And I was embarrassed to tell people that, well, I'm working for minimum wage as a telemarketer right now because I really feel pretty badly about myself. Like I couldn't say that to people, you know? So I made a very conscientious effort and decision and I had to stick to it. You have to be disciplined about it because if you don't, those old fears and those old thoughts, those old self-sabotaging behaviors will pop back up. The thing is, the stronger you get in the way that you speak about yourself, the way that you speak to yourself, will eventually get stronger than the negativity and the negative pieces and the negative thoughts. And so for me, it was really a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But again, that willingness to commit to changing the way that I perceived myself and the way that I was going to speak to myself and use language that described myself had to change, and it had to change immediately. Not wait a week, not wait 2 weeks, not wait 3 weeks, but it had to start changing right away. Mm-hmm. So I sat down and I journaled, and even though I didn't quite believe everything I was writing, I wrote it down and I declared it to be such that it was my truth. Mm-hmm. Because I knew that if I could write it out, there was some sort of cathartic, you know, release in doing that and in knowing that I now had something to strive towards. So combining that with the prayer and the meditation and the positive affirmations, and then literally catching myself if I were to say something negative out loud or in my own mind, you know, and being able to just say, okay, That was the old version that was coming through, and I'm not even gonna belittle it and berate it or try to, you know, I'm not even gonna judge it. I'm gonna call it out for what it is. It was a negative thought that had, you know, just sort of popped up from the past. I'm not judging myself for it. I'm just allowing it to be, and then I'm counteracting it with a positive thought.
You know, it's so interesting to hear, you know, you share what you did, because so many of us are not living the life that we desire, not reaching our full potential, because there's that voice, and we all have that voice, and some of us it's louder than others, that does tell us, you know, you can't do that, or starts to compare ourselves to what other people are doing. But what you've done is just stop, not giving that voice fuel, and turning it around, and what is it that you do want to continue to remind yourself? And for some of us, we are on a journey, aren't we? And so whilst we have not yet, and I love that word yet, because it shows that you're continuing to move towards that. And I know, because if I look back through my own personal journey, there are times, and if I had listened to that voice, I probably would not be where I was today. So thank you for sharing that. I know that for some of you, go back, re-listen to this, write down what Lisa said, actually download the transcription. I'll share how you can do that, and then highlight what she said and start to implement that. So let's talk about the one thing that we need to do, and if we don't do this one thing, the answer will always be no. What is that one thing?
We've got to ask. We've got to ask for what we need, and we've got to ask for what we want, because if we don't, the answer will always, always be no.
Yes.
And I teach people this all the time, because so often we're afraid to ask for those things because we fear rejection.
Yes.
We fear hearing the words no. We fear hearing silence if we ask a question and someone doesn't respond to us. But the way that I look at it, and the way that I've had to reframe it for myself, is that if I'm willing to at least ask someone or something for what I need and what I want in this life, then I've got a 50-50 shot at that answer being yes. But if I don't ever ask, the answer will always be no.
Yes.
And so it's something that, when I'm working with my clients, I constantly am reminding them of that. You know, I know you're afraid. I was afraid too. You know, I get it. You know, I'm not talking from someone who doesn't know what it feels like to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even now, you know, there's certain things that certainly I'm not quite as courageous about as I'd like to be.
Yet.
But I push myself through it, and, you know, I make myself ask regardless. Because again, if I don't, then the answer will always be no.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it was interesting. I was talking to my coach would have been about a month or so ago, I think. And it was around this very, you know, same topic about the asking, because there's certain areas in my business where I just cringe, you know. And it's like, but it's not one of those things that you can outsource. So it's something that I just have to, you know, do and get over. But it was interesting, because I remember as a child that I would used to ask, you know, my mother, and of course, not judging mum, you know, she did the best resources that she could at that time.
Sure.
And, you know, as a young child, you see books, you see all sorts of toys and clothes and everything. And, you know, the answer was no. And I'd kind of created this subconscious, you know, why bother asking? The answer is always going to be no, which was absolutely ridiculous. But sometimes we carry those things, don't we, from childhood into adulthood. So it was really great to be able to shatter that unhelpful belief, I tell you. But I love that, you know, 50-50, you got a 50-50 chance.
Right, and 50-50 is better than
zero,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I advise people, you know, just go for it, take the risk. The worst that can happen is that someone says no, and even then, move on to the next person or the next.
And, you know, I think also too, you know, you said, Lisa, that, you know, we often fear rejection. However, it's very important for us not to take that no personally, because we don't know what's going through their own belief system. They, you know, if we're asking a client to work with, or a potential client to work with us, they may not yet believe that they're worth investing that amount of money. So it's got nothing, no reflection on our quality of work or what we can deliver. Absolutely not. They're just not yet in a place where they're ready to say yes. And when you start looking at it that way too, that can be incredibly helpful. So we don't take it personally, because I know many of women who are in service-based businesses, we are in that business because we're passionate about serving, about supporting our clients. So when we do get a no, we can often take that personally, but it really isn't personal at all, is it?
It's not. And that's something else that I really have to, something I've had to work on myself. And secondly, something that I'm constantly working on with other women entrepreneurs. You know, you're going to hear no. You know, not every single person you speak with is going to fall head over heels in love with you and want to hire you to do the job or to provide the service. And it's okay to hear no. And you were so right about that, Anne-Marie. You've got to learn to depersonalize what someone else's response is because their response is a reflection of them. It's not a reflection of you necessarily.
Yeah.
And I know that's, you know, easier said than done. I mean, I'm a very sensitive person, you know, and back, you know, several years ago, if someone had said no, I probably would have started to cry, you know, but as I've, you know, gained maturity and wisdom as I've, you know, gotten older, I do recognize that as long as I'm giving it my best and I'm showing up in an authentic way, and, you know, presenting myself in a professional way, if the other person chooses not to or wants to say no, that's their right to do that. But I can't let every no or every time someone says no, not yet, or I'm sorry, you know, no. And if I were to let that, you know, sort of, you know, if I were to take that on personally, I mean, that would just erode your spirit, you know, erode my spirit. So
yeah,
I teach people that all the time. It's depersonalizing what others, you know, think or say or how they respond to you.
Yeah, so true. And isn't it great that we can share that and share our vulnerabilities too? I think everyone in business, and look, even the people who are really great at having those sales conversations and so forth, they initially all were a little bit scared of doing that. But you get to a stage where you are really confident. And if you've got, you know, a client base who just continues to work with you and love what you do, that continues to really build your self-esteem and your confidence as well. So that when you do get those no's, they may not have been your ideal client. And in actual fact, they could have done you a really beautiful favor, because had you started working with them, maybe down the track, you might have realized that, you know what, this is not my ideal client. And so that no may be leaving the space open for your next ideal client who's absolutely going to love your work and get great results from working with you. It's left the space open for them to step into and say yes. So yeah, that's great. So Lisa, what would be one last piece of advice that you and encouragement that you would like to leave with people today?
See, now this is the part that comes easy for me. I love empowering other people and just helping them to live up to their greatest potential. I would say recognize that you are more than enough and that you have exactly what you need already within you to make the necessary changes that you need to make for your own life. Yes, you may need to seek the advice of a counselor or a coach or a mentor, or, you know, yes, you may need to bring in a team of people to help you, but recognize that the answers are already within you and know that you will get through whatever it is you're going through, even if you're in the darkest of darkest places. I promise you, if you hang in there and you give yourself permission to move forward and get the right people there to help you, you will see your way through this.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us today on the show, Lisa. It really has been a pleasure speaking with you. How can people get in contact with you?
Well, first, I would like to say thank you again so much. This has been really really a blessing for me. I mean, I just love being able to, you know, spread, you know, my words of encouragement and letting people know that there really is, you know, hope. There's hope for people, you know, and sharing my story, you know, I hope that that's what I've been able to give today. So for anyone listening, I welcome you to reach out to me on, you know, on social media. Certainly you can just put in my name, Lisa Marie Pepe. And I believe Anne-Marie, you'll have that in the transcript.
Yes.
But certainly, yes, you can look me up on Facebook, on any one of the social media platforms, and I will come up. But the best way to reach me would be to go to my website, which is www.positivetransformation.net. Again, that's www.positivetransformation.net. Positivetransformation.net. And there you'll be able to reach me or send me an email or reach out to, schedule even a complimentary call with me if you'd like.
Fantastic. So yes, we will have all of those details on the show notes as well as the transcript. So if you want to grab that, if you're listening from your device, all you need to do is go to this link, annemariecross.com/podcast23. And while you're over there, join the conversation. Let's see, what is the biggest insight? I know you have had many, many insights after listening to Lisa Marie today. What is the biggest insight that you've had from today's show? And looking at that insight, taking that insight, what is the action step that you are going to take in the next 24 hours to start taking action on that? We want to hear from you. We will celebrate alongside you and certainly look forward to reading your comments. So let's listen to today's inspirational message. That's brought to you by Communicate Your Brand so you can get noticed, hired, and paid what you're worth. And it's a quote. I'm not sure who said this, so it's anonymous, but I love it. It says, great brands start inside. Great brands start inside. And for those of you who are service-based business owners, you are your brand. So often I see incredible service-based business owners, they working on external brand elements, such as their logo, their website, their business cards, or stationery, all those kind of things, which are very important, but they're actually branding touch points. They communicate your message. But if you're looking at creating a brand message that really does speak who you are, you need to go inside. So looking at your values, your mission, what's your why? All of those different things are so important. So great brands start inside. Now, if you are a service-based woman in business and you are passionate about your business and even more so about helping your clients, yet you are struggling to pinpoint those key elements that will help you make your message and how you communicate what you do to a potential client distinct, then why not sign up for one of my breakthrough sessions, and I'll certainly be able to support you in doing that. All you need to do is go to annemariecross.com/breakthrough session, annemariecross.com/breakthrough session, so that you can really create a message that communicates the value, has your client saying, how do I work with you as well, which is, of course, what we want for all of you amazing women in business. That brings us to the end of another episode. So if you have listened and gotten inspired, which I know you have, why not subscribe to our iTunes channel if you haven't already done that, so that every week you'll be notified when the next show is out. All you need to do is go to annemariecross.com/podcast iTunes. While you're over there, if you want to leave a comment and as well rate the show, that would be fabulous, because that helps us get our message out to as many other incredible women in business and women who would love to be in a leadership role. So anyway, that brings us to an end of another episode. Have a fantastic week. Look forward to connecting with you all again next week. Bye for now. See you, Lisa.
Bye. Thank you.